Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
Okay, I've got a word for you. Follows on from last week. Who was here last week? We talked last week about going through the a time of frustration on how we need to be responding to God in what feels like frustration. If you remember, I talked about you get the revelation of what God is doing in your life. You get the revelation in that God has called you, He's sent you, He's anointed you, He's appointed you, but then what shortly follows is the contradiction. In other words, you thought you were stepping into something. I'm called to be an evangelist, or I'm called to be a worship leader, or I'm called to be a business person. And you step into those things, and just as you step in and you come into an amen, next minute there's the contradiction, and it looks like everything is shutting down around you, and the circumstances are trying to redefine you and say to you, obviously you're not called to this. But the good thing is, God always brings us through if we stay the course and we see the manifestation. So the gospel message is a great picture of that process in that we get the revelation of the Son of God in the form of Jesus Christ. He comes as the one who is the Savior of the world to free people from their sins and to pay the ultimate price. But then the contradiction when he's killed. Hang on a minute, I thought he's going to rescue us. What's going on here? But then, on the third day, you get the manifestation. And you realize that no matter what contradiction comes at you, no matter what circumstances try to define, God will have his way. And it will bring about the manifestation. And so that was, in a nutshell, last week what we talked about and how we actually navigate that process of contradiction. The bit in between, which is a frustrated time where it feels like you're called to change the world, but it looks like nothing's opening up for you. How do you manage that? Today I want to talk to you about the work of the Holy Spirit and how he positions you ready for all that you're called to do. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come upon us? Would you move? Would you speak? Would you have your way in us, through us? Speak to us through your word. Position us for an encounter today. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like I'm in a new season now, personally, having come through, I would say, probably one of the most difficult seasons in my life in the ministry, with lots of stuff going on, lots of challenges in terms of personal relationships, in terms of the work of the ministry, in terms of family, and I mean, every area I felt has been really tested. And there's those times in, I mean, I was preaching to myself last week, you can probably figure that out, right? There are those times where that scripture, when it says, when you've done everything you can do, stand. And sometimes standing looks like curling up in a ball and holding on. Well, it's been like that for me, but I believe that what it's doing, what that process is doing, I think there are many people here actually in that place, and Carissa hit the nail on the head with that word before, that there is a heaviness and there is a weightiness and a weariness in terms of people's journey right now, and it feels like that even though we're getting this promise of refreshing, it feels like, well, I've just not got wet yet. But I believe the Holy Spirit is actually bringing us into a place where actually we're going to start to see a greater measure of his power in our lives. And so I want to talk about that today. And I feel as well also the Holy Spirit, just in recent weeks, he's been saying, I don't want you to preach anything else other than Holy Spirit. So week in, week out, I'm sorry. If it's my week, you know what you're getting. But I really feel that as a house, we actually start to have to partner with what God is doing in the house. It sounds like, well, surely that is what we do. Well, often it's not. Often the Spirit's doing one thing and we're doing something else, and we're trying to get him to bless this over here when actually he's working over here and he's wanting us to align with that. And we are finding that there is this brooding of the Spirit, as in Genesis 1, where he hovered over the chaos and the void and the deep. He hovered waiting for the release of that creative word of the Lord. And when that release came, boom, everything started to happen. And I believe the season we're in now is we're in this hovering and we're seeing these refreshings and these times of breaking out where the Holy Spirit is just coming in like a steamroller and just having his way through the whole place. I believe that's what we're in right now. And I want to give you a bit of a purpose for that, that the Holy Spirit doesn't just come just for the fun. I love the fun. I love it when it gets crazy. I love it when I see people upside down and rolling around on the floor and swinging from the chandeliers. I love that measure of freedom. I think you have to have that if you want the. You can't pray, Holy Spirit, have your way, and then expect it decent and tidy. It just doesn't work like that. God, when he comes, he has his order. It's what he calls decent, and it's what he calls order. And sometimes for us, it looks like chaos. But sometimes for him, our order looks like chaos to him. Our nice, tidy, programmed church. I think God is frustrated with that kind of situation. God does not like to be straitjacketed. And so if you're going to have the Spirit of the Lord, you have to have an environment of freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so you need to recognize that freedom looks like taking your hands off ourselves, off each other. Leadership taking the hands off how things need to happen and need to go, and just let it. This great guy, William Seymour, I may have mentioned him before. He was the guy, the pastor of the Azusa Street Revival, the birthplace of Pentecostalism. Week in, week out, when they would gather, Holy Spirit would be moving through the meeting, and he would have his head in a shoebox, praying in the Spirit, just letting the crazy go on. He was criticized constantly by men and women of God, by leaders, pastors, bishops, denominations, would condemn him for his lack of restraint in the way he led the meeting. But he understood that God was the senior leader, and he was just a momentary pastor to steward what was effectively a mess. But he understood that if God's having his way, who am I to shut down God? We see in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 10 that when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the temple, when the priests withdrew from the holy place, it says the glory of the Lord filled the temple, so much so that the priests could not perform their duties. In other words, leadership were rendered redundant because he's now here and he's now in charge. And I believe what God is doing in Fresh Fire right now is he is doing that very thing in clearing the way so that he can come and have his way among us and do what he needs to do in us for a purpose. And that purpose, I believe, is to activate you into a level of power so that that which you are called to do, you can effectively do. So Jesus, you need to understand something with the disciples. When Jesus visited them after his resurrection, he said, "Peace I leave with you," and he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Now that was the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, which caused them to be born again. So they became believers. So they had authority. They were born again. They were new creatures in Christ. They had the Holy Spirit. But then we also get Jesus saying to them, go to Jerusalem and wait there until you've been clothed with power. So it's one thing to get born again and have the Holy Spirit regenerate your spirit and you become a new creation. It's another thing altogether to be clothed with power. Are you hearing me? See, many of us, we have had experiences of the Holy Spirit, but how many of us actually are operating in the power of the Spirit? You see, I'm a big believer in that we should not have this compartmentalized Christianity. I don't believe that we should have it all sectioned off. This is God here. This is church here. This is my acts of service here. This is my job. This is my non-Christian family and friends. This is this. And it's all sectioned off, and we don't allow those elements to cross over. I don't live like that. I don't know about you. I choose not to live like that. I choose to have God in absolutely every area of my life. I get bored often in boring conversations about football or TV or things. I just am not interested, but you put me with people who love the kingdom and are like-minded, I'll sit and we'll talk about the kingdom all day long and all night long, and we just love to see God breaking in into those conversations. God's in my finances, God is in my family, God is in my home, He's in my garden, He's in my meal times, He's in everything, every area of my lives. He's in my quiet times, He's in my sleeping, He's in my rising in the morning. Why? Because I want to live a life where His power is operating through everything. Because if I want to live a life where my kids are going to grow up in the knowledge of God, if I want to live a life where I'm going to affect the people around me, if I want to live a life that's going to affect the workplace and change a nation, then I can't have God boxed off in a corner. Or bring Him out when I need Him. One of my biggest frustrations is when people do get sick, up until that point, they've had no grid for healing, no grid for prayer, no grid for intimacy, no grid for intercession, but suddenly, now they're the ultimate prayer warriors. Why? Because a situation has arisen that they need an answer for. But God doesn't train you in those surprise assignments that come at you. God trains you when nothing's happening. God trains you when it's all well and all good. And it's in those moments that's the time where you should be sharpening your sword. It's in those moments that's the time where you should be hearing His voice and cultivating an intimacy with the Spirit. Because when something does come against you, if you ain't ready, you ain't ready. Are you hearing me? And so our lives as effective witnesses, which is why they were told to wait in Jerusalem so they could be clothed with power, is so that they would be effective in their mission to spread the fire of the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? And so there is a difference than just getting saved and having tastes of the Holy Spirit to actually living in the power of the Holy Spirit, where you're anointing that's upon you, your clothing that's lit up and on fire actually sets fire wherever you go. Any of you like all the Marvel movies and all of those? Remember the Fantastic Four? Human Torch. That's who we should be. Always on fire. Wherever we go, we're lighting fires, setting hearts on fires, setting minds on fires, setting cultures and systems and workplaces, environments and families on fire. Was it not one of the Wesleys? Was it John Wesley or Charles Wesley who said, "I'm going to set myself on fire and let the world come and watch me burn"? This is what it is. It's moving from just this blessing of the Holy Spirit into the power of the Holy Spirit so that you actually have answers for the situations that you face. It's a wild life. It's an exciting life. And I believe I've always believed since the day I said yes to Jesus that it's not a graded system of how much you're going to be in. It's black and white. I'm in or I'm out. And I don't see like a staggered, tiered level of what a Christian should be. I think for me, the way I read the book, it's everyone should be casting out demons. Everyone should be raising the dead. Everybody should be healing the sick. Everybody should be able to hear what the Father is saying and see in the Spirit. everybody should walk with power and authority. And because there's only a few, we make idols and we make superstars and we make guys in white jackets spinning around their heads. We create platforms for them when actually the platform is this ground level, grassroots move of God, which every believer spreading like wildfire through the nations. Let me put it in perspective for you. There's just shy of 7 billion people in the world. 2 billion of those people profess to be believers. 2 billion. Which means if every person who professes to be a believer led 3 people to Jesus this week, the earth is fully evangelized. But we're waiting for the Reinhard Bonnkes to go and fill a field with 1 million people, and we think we've made a dent. We make a dent and we make a move when every single person is lit up as powerfully as Reinhard Bonnke. Are you hearing me? This is the move of God that we're talking about. I believe the next move of God, as much as it will be about the fear of the Lord and a powerful manifestation of His glory, the move of God will be a move of the saints. It will be the people of God moved out of their comfort zones, of their nice, cushy, comfortable 9-to-5 lifestyles, into radical Christianity. Amen. Luke chapter 4. Verse 1. Jesus, I believe, is our ultimate example. I believe he had to be 100% man in order to be a full example to us that we can live a life governed by the power of God that actually empowers us past our human frailty. In other words, our capacity to fail. So he's an example to us. So I know we all have our heroes in the Bible. Some it's Moses, some it's Elijah, some it's Paul, whatever. The ultimate one. I don't want to be any of those guys. I want to be like Jesus. Because every one of those guys has issues, right? I want to be like David. Really? Do you know what he did? I want to be like Moses. Do you know what he did? I want to be like Jesus. He's the example. He's the one we're being conformed to. As much as we love qualities in others, he's the one we're being conformed to his image and his likeness. That's what's promised, right? So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wild. So Jesus himself, as a man, was filled with the Spirit. And now he's led by the Spirit into the wild. 40 days in the wilderness and 40 nights he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. And we've read the story of the temptations. We know. I don't want to unpack that story, but I want to just say this about that. God has to form you in a wilderness period. If you want to walk in power, you have to be formed in a wilderness period. It's not going to happen on a mountaintop. It's not going to happen in the victory of the last battle you just fought. It's going to happen when it's just you and you're left with your insecurities. Where you haven't got your mates telling you how awesome you are. Where you haven't got your mom and dad telling you how loved you are, or not. Where you haven't got leaders encouraging you with motivational messages. Where it's just you and your own thoughts and an enemy that's seeking to add his spin on your insecurities. Do you understand that? Why is that important? It's important because God wants such an intimacy with you that you don't believe any other lie about you. That you know who you are and whose you are. That is settled. That you don't need somebody to tell you. I believe what God is bringing to an end of in our churches right now, across the world, across denominations, is the end of neediness for one another. So that we actually get to be the body where we're giving to one another. Not needing from one another. I think needy Christianity is the antithesis of the abundant life that we're meant to dish out. The people can drink from us. We give freely, we give freely, we give freely. Imagine if believers who knew who they were, knew what God said about them, that they didn't need to be defined or have their ears tickled by someone else, but had the affirmation of the Father. I believe that's why the Father says to the Son, when at his baptism, just before this passage, "This is my Son, who I love, and in whom I'm well pleased." Before he even started his ministry, he gets this affirmation. This is what God wants to do with you in your wilderness period, in your time of testing, when you're answering questions about who you think you are. God has to form you in that place. And it's a lonely place, and nobody can go there with you. This isn't going to be a long message, by the way. I want you to see the end goal here. Verse 14. It says, "Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." So often we focus in our teaching on how much Holy Spirit do you have? How much anointing do you have? Well, I believe this process reveals that actually what's going on here is, how much does the Holy Spirit have of you? And so Jesus in the wilderness is wielding the word of God to counterattack what is effectively the operation of Leviathan through Satan, which is twisting things to manipulate, to get in the head, to question the identity of Jesus. Jesus skillfully wields the word of God, fully affirmed in who he is, knowing why he's here. And in that time of testing, which is 40 days, so we see a record of three different tests here, but he was tested the full 40 days. Think about that. Continually tempted and tested in his identity. How many of you are going through a season where you're figuring out who you are? No one wants to put their hand up. You don't have to. It's kind of an awkward rhetorical question. I'm just lingering a little bit too long. Just let you think about it. Yeah, we all are, right? But that question can only be answered by one. You know, when Jesus said, "Who do the people say that I am?" He's not asking from a place of insecurity. He's asking to create an atmosphere of revelation so that somebody will get it. If you're in a season right now and you don't know who you are, the worst thing to do is to ask someone else. Someone once said to me, "Adam, you're a great pastor." I'm like, "Really? You don't know me." Someone told me I was an evangelist. "Really? You don't know me." You need to know yourself. You need to know who you are. You need to know, not just in terms of what you do, and that's a really important distinction. Forget what you do. Think on who you are, who he says you are, as a son, as a daughter. That's your highest calling right there. Never mind asking, "What's my calling? What's my ministry?" Your ministry is to be a son, to be a daughter, and to yield to the Father and his love in your life. But Jesus, he says, returns in the power of the Spirit. And he goes straight away to the synagogue, and this is where he begins business. He opens Jesus Christ International Ministries, launches, it's launch day, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to do what? Preach good news, open blind eyes, set captives free, release those who are oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The clothing that came to him only came after he went through a wilderness. Let me land this. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 1, "Go wait in Jerusalem until you receive power." Everyone say power. Acts chapter 2. You need to understand, that's 50 days. 50 days. Not 40 days and nights, but 50 without Jesus, with the threat of being shut down, fear of persecution, locked in an upper room, hiding away, not knowing what's going to happen. That, may I suggest, is their wilderness time, where they're in it and they're on their own and that Jesus has left them, and what are we going to do? Remember when Jesus talked, they'll fast when the Son of Man goes. That was their fast. That 50 days of, we don't know what's going to happen, we're just waiting here, holding on. Next minute, wind, fire. Their hair sets on fire. Start speaking in other language, all clothed with power from on high. And as a result, what happens? They go outside, intoxicated by the Holy Spirit, and accidentally lead 3,000 people to Jesus without trying. Do you see the difference? Do you see what happens? You see, it's one thing having the Holy Spirit working in you and conforming you to the image of the Son, renewing you, activating you in your identity as a son, but it's another thing being clothed with power. And if you want to walk in the power of God, if you want to see signs and wonders and miracles, which is what you should be expecting, nobody can say it's not your ministry. If you say that, you've not read the Bible. It's your ministry. If you want to see the power of God in your workplace, in your families, you want to see people come to Jesus who you've been praying for and contending for, the answer is not in some strategy or slipping gospel tracts into their pockets or anointing their pillows at night with oil or all that kind of stuff. As wonderful, as prophetic and powerful as that could be, the answer is you being lit up and set on fire. Because if you're on fire, you get this consuming fire that runs through you. You don't care what anyone thinks. You don't care what anybody says. Why? Because you got dealt with in the wilderness. You know who you are. You ain't bothered anymore. You're just bringing it. You're saying it. You're telling people the truth. And everybody around you is going, what is this? I want some of that. And then you could say, well, this is that. Spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the Holy Spirit. You want some, you can have some. 3,000 people. Later on, another few thousand people. And thousands and thousands and thousands added daily. Why? Because people whose names aren't even in the book decided to stay on fire. And wherever they went, the gospel of the kingdom went too. This is the answer. Not just for the nations, but for your situations in life where you were right now, you got no breakthrough, you got no power. It's not by might, not all by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So the miracles you need, the shifts that you need to happen, the breakthroughs, whatever it is, the answer is being clothed with power. And you will not get the power unless you go through the wilderness period and let God deal with the insecurities. You know what happens when you give power to insecure people? We all know. So, enjoy your wilderness if you're in it. Those of you who are coming out of it, get ready for the wind and fire.